This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Welcome to the Hockey News Podcast. I'm your host, Edward Fraser, today filling in for Matt Larkin, who's at the NHL Awards in Vegas.
He's not there yet?
Well, you got to remember, people are going to be listening to this podcast. This isn't live, Ken.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We'll do it live.
That's right. Okay. Save it for the podcast. Okay, yes. He may, actually, by the time you hear this, he may very well be in Las Vegas.
Yes.
Not at the NHL Awards, but in anticipation of the NHL Awards, because the NHL Awards are Wednesday night, and I'm sure that people are going to be listening to this before Wednesday night.
The dullard to my left is Ken Campbell, our senior writer. Across from me is associate senior writer Ryan Kennedy. Today on the podcast, we're not going to talk about the draft. And the reason for that, even though it is, I think, the news of the day, or at least what's buzzing around, is Ryan Kennedy is going to be doing a full draft blowout on the Prospect podcast on Thursday.
And me.
I'm just wondering like who's gonna actually add value to our listenership.
Oh, Ryan, definitely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Alright. So today we're gonna be talking about some of the other things. Of course, the biggest news coming out of the weekend, Domi for Galchenyuk. Mm-hmm. After about a decade of speculation for trade for Alex Galchenyuk. Yeah. I think he was talked about getting dealt before he was drafted by Montreal.
Before he started playing.
So. Yeah. Could have been right.
They're like, Alex Galchenyuk Sr., who is a Russian player, will one day have a son.
Who will get traded. 6 years into his career.
Montreal media was already buzzing. So your takeaways from this deal. I mean, I think it was a bit of a surprise. Because I don't think anybody really expected Domi to get dealt. Galchenyuk's not too much of a surprise, but the Domi one, who wins this deal?
Well, for me, it's Arizona, because with Galchenyuk, you have a guy who has scored 30 goals in the NHL. You have a guy who can play center, and I think if you put him in the right situation, he could blossom. I know he has had problems in the past away from the puck, but he's still a relatively young guy. And, you know, I look at that Arizona forward core, and, you know, they got some good things going on there. I mean, Clayton Keller had a really nice rookie year. We're still waiting for Dylan Strome to come up and make an impact, but he had a really nice pro rookie season in the AHL, which I think really helps. And then Derek Stepan, a veteran influence. I don't think they're world beaters right now, but I think Galchenyuk gives them a little more versatility that could really help.
This doesn't make them a playoff team.
Well, no, but I think it's time that this team started to challenge for the playoffs. Like they shouldn't be a lottery pick again.
They should try.
They should be like on the fringes.
Yeah.
Maybe make it, probably not, but you know, at least give it a spirited run here.
Yes.
This trade is really hard to defend from a Montreal perspective. It's tough. It's damn near impossible. But I will say this, I think that Alex Galchenyuk, for whatever reason in Montreal, was unsustainable in the long term. When the GM comes out and says, I don't think he's a center, I think he's a winger, after sort of getting, I'm sure a lot of people will maintain that Montreal screwed this guy around and jerked him around a lot, which they did. I don't think they did him any favors by rushing into the NHL at the age of 18. I don't think they did any favors by shuttling him from center to the wing. But what I will say is that when he has had the opportunity to play center, he has been horrible defensively. Horrible.
That's what I'm
and so I'm willing to cut a bit of slack to Montreal for that. But I think given how toxic the situation had gotten with him with respect to his on ice and his personal life, I'm not sure that the Habs had any. And a lot of this was of their own doing, but I'm not sure that they had any choice but to trade him at this point. And what I will say about Domi is I think these two guys needed a change, and I think these two guys could get the change that they need in where they're going. I think Galchenyuk going to a place where people aren't going to you know, parse every move and everything he does and everything he says, and they don't really get the new, you know, a lot of the fan base doesn't, you know, isn't as avid about, you know, is he playing wing, is he playing center. I think that will be good for Alex Galchenyuk. Max Domi, on the other hand, I think this is a guy that needs to be accountable. I think he needs a situation where he's in a high-pressure market. Mm. I think playing in a low-pressure market isn't good for a guy like that. I think he needs to be in a place where people are scrutinizing him and looking at him and parsing his play and saying, you know, you have to do this, you have to do that. I think that's the kind of motivation he needs in order to succeed. And I think, you know, having grown up in Toronto, having had a dad who played on, you know, the most scrutinized, closely followed team in hockey, I think would prepare him well for that. I would not be surprised if Max Domi comes in and is a real, like, kind of glue guy for that team. I would not be surprised if he starts taking French lessons right away and tries to, you know, really endear himself to the fan base. Is that going to be enough? I don't know. I think it all depends on what Alex Galchenyuk does. If Alex Galchenyuk goes to Arizona and it turns out he's just not that good,
yeah,
and Montreal was right about him, then it won't be so bad. If he goes there and lights it up and blossoms and you know, comes out of his shell and all of that, then it could be disastrous for the Canadiens.
I think you make a really good point there, and it's something that I've kind of looked at Alex Galchenyuk for quite a while, is I just don't think he's that good. I think he's overhyped in what was a terrible draft at the top end.
Yeah.
People, the expectations have been ridiculous. He's no better than a second line guy. He's not a center, because you're exactly right. He's been terrible. And it's not Montreal didn't give him the opportunity.
Exactly. He
they wanted nothing more than for him to be that guy.
And
he's
they,
just not that
they
guy.
They put him on a fairly short leash and that, but they you can't say that they didn't give him a chance. You can't say that they gave up on him. God sakes, the kid's been there for 6 years.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I mean, you know, this is kind of a lowercase Nazem Kadri. And, and you know, they waited a long time. The Leafs waited a long time to see what they had with that guy. And it turns out what they have with him is pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not sure you can say the same thing about Alex Galchenyuk. He did get 30. He got 30 in a nothing year where he probably got pretty decent matchups and that kind of thing. But he got 30.
Yep,
he got 30, and he got
that's
30
fair.
As a centerman.
Mm-hmm.
And he got 30 as a centerman, so I'm not going to discount that. Okay? But I don't know. To say that the Canadians completely railroaded this guy, I'm not sure that that's exactly accurate. Could they have handled him better? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they could have handled him better. But maybe he is what he is.
I would say 60% railroaded him. Maybe not 100%. Yeah. Two more thoughts on this. One, I'm going to make this prediction on the record right now. Max Domi, his first game with Montreal, let's just say it's at home.
He's going to get kicked out.
No. He's going to get two goals, and people are going to freak out and say this is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
After that, I have no idea. Maybe he scores 10 the rest of the season. Maybe he scores 30. I have no idea. But that first game, I bet he comes out of the chute and plays big. He's probably first star. However, once again, we have a Montreal trade where it's like, okay, well, we're giving up a pretty decent asset here. Oh, good, Mark. Did you get a center? Well, no.
Yeah.
We got a talented winger.
Yeah.
Where does it end for
did
Montreal?
Did they sell Paul Stastny this summer? Did they just go out and throw
whatever
money
you want at
Paul
third,
Stastny?
Why? Because you need a third line?
I'd say, like, even if you
it's better than not having a center.
Unless you trade...
I mean, what are you going to do? Put Paul Byron back at center?
Yeah, unless you trade...
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like, unless
I
you
mean,
trade Pacioretty for a legit center.
I mean, I can't imagine they're going to get John Tavares.
No.
So what is the option? You
Joe Thornton?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I think I think Thornton really just wants to go back to San Jose, so that might just take care of itself.
Yeah,
but
I think they're gonna go and throw a bunch of money at Paul Stastny and give him a long term deal for a lot of money that a couple of years from now we're gonna look at that contract and go,
right.
A number one center is the most important thing in the game right now, other than maybe a stud defenseman, and it's perhaps other than a stud defenseman the hardest thing to find.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just snap your fingers and make it happen.
Nope.
So I'll give Bergeron credit, and I've been as critical as anybody of him. I'm quite frankly surprised he's still employed. but they were not dealing from a position of power here.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they got a guy like Domi, who I think, maybe I'm wrong, I think he's got more upside at this point in his career than Galchenyuk. Galchenyuk may have topped out.
He's better than a 9-goal scorer.
Yes,
100%. And four of those goals were empty net.
They're buying low.
He's a 5-goal scorer when it comes to shooting on goalies and putting
He's got 70-point upside, 25-goal, 70-point upside. With the right line mates, which he's going to find, which he's probably going to find in Montreal before he finds in Arizona. But
where's he going to find a centerman? They don't have one. Who's going to get him the puck?
Well, Brady Tkachuk.
Yeah.
You're a big Brady Tkachuk fan.
I am.
Brady Tkachuk's not a center.
He's a winger.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I know. Joe Valeno?
Yeah, you have to trade down.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem. This is the worst case for Montreal, because you finally land yourself a high pick.
Yeah.
And there's no center.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of talk about them taking Jesperi Kotkaniemi and hoping that he's the answer. But I think, you know, either you trade down because you know you can probably get him a little later, or it's a pretty big risk because you would be passing on some fantastic defensemen in order to take him that high.
So for people who maybe don't listen to the Prospect Podcast, and of course you'll want to tune in on Thursday, tell listeners why they want Kotkaniemi.
Well, I mean, he's a big kid, great hands, great character. His skating's still a work in progress, but it's gotten a lot better. So, you know, structurally, his skating should improve. He's been great internationally against his peer group while playing center. However, he played wing in Finland this year when playing against men. So maybe I think your best case scenario is he's Pierre-Luc Dubois, a kid that was a winger, started playing center, and went to a team that said, we're going to give you the development path to become a center. We believe that you will be a center in the NHL. And for Columbus, so far, I mean, I think what we saw in the second half of this year, that worked pretty well.
Oh, that'd be great. If they could get a Pierre-Luc Dubois type, they'd be thrilled.
Right. Yeah. Now, Pierre-Luc Dubois didn't have, you know, skating issues.
That's what scares
me. And that's what scares me, too.
Oh, my God.
But it was weird. At the draft combine, like, the Montreal media was just, like, frothing over Kotkaniemi. Like, he had a huge scrum, and all, you know, a lot of insiders are saying, like, oh, Kotkaniemi could go fifth overall, or he's the fifth best player, and it's like,
really?
Am I just, like, I think the kid's really good, but when you have an issue like that, even though you're solving it, like, look at Dylan Strome and how long it's taken him to get NHL games, and he's still not a regular. He played most of the season in the AHL. Look how far Gabe Vilardi fell in the draft last year when he looked like he could be like top three, maybe top five. So I'm very curious how things turn out at the draft when it comes to Kotkaniemi. I think he's one of the most interesting players to watch on that first day, but I don't know what the end result is. It's a very hard thing to forecast right now.
If I'm Montreal, I'm not in a big rush to go find a center. I'm fine drafting a guy like this who, you know, we had him at 18 in draft preview, so
he'll go
straight down. That's fine. But, like, this is not a team that's ready to contend right now.
And you don't address immediate needs at the draft.
No.
You don't ever.
Yeah.
Ever, 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 ever.
And they don't have a player on their roster. They don't have a player on their roster.
You have to address immediate needs through free agency or trades.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if they were to draft this guy, it would be
2-3 years.
3 years at least before he is in a position to even have a pretty decent impact. So drafting this guy is not going to solve their problems for a couple of years. So I don't know that would be, you know, unless you think that he is in 3 years is going to be a stud, then maybe you step up and you take the kid at number three. I don't know. I mean, that's a ballsy. That'd be a ballsy thing to do.
I think with the guys who are up there, the wingers and the defensemen, you can get some. If you really want him, you can get some further value. You can get a second in addition if you trade down from a team that really wants to move up and somebody who loves Zadina there or loves Tkachuk there.
If you go past three and you don't draft Brady Tkachuk, then I don't get it. I don't get it.
He was our best
player in the World Junior team. I know Middlestad scored all those points and all those goals, but game in, game out, that kid was our best player. He was playing in every situation. He was playing late in games. He scored. He did everything for them.
Your undying love for Brady Tkachuk is well known. I fully expect when I'm you'll be there and I'll be watching from home, and I'm going to listen for a little Ken Campbell.
Man crush.
If he drops anywhere past three, I'm going to hear Ken Campbell grumble, "About damn time!"
That'll be one day for you, dude.
The Ottawa Senators. Let's keep it on the ice and figure out what this team can do to fix this situation. Is it only fixable by trading Carlson? Do you trade Mike Hoffman? I mean, what do you do at this point?
Here's the way I view it. I don't know how Mike Hoffman could possibly come back and play there next year.
Yeah.
After this. 100%. Even if it's not, if it's not true. Even if all this stuff isn't true.
If it's not true, eh?
Are we ever going to find out? Are we ever really going to find out? I don't know. I just don't know how Mike Hoffman could ever come back and play there next year. He was on the trade block already.
True.
Right? Okay, so Carlson, I don't believe this is going to have anything to do with whether or not Erik Karlsson gets traded out of Ottawa. Whether Erik Karlsson gets traded out of Ottawa will come solely down to whether or not they can re-sign him. I think it comes down to money, terms, dollars, contracts. That's it.
Okay?
And I think if Erik Karlsson gets traded, it will be because the Ottawa Senators have made a determination, hopefully by the draft for their sake or before next season, that they can't re-sign this guy and that they have to get, you know, the mother load for him, right? So if they can't, I mean, I thought the way John Chayka handled the Oliver Ekman-Larsson situation, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Fan-freaking-tastic. Never offered him to anybody. He was never on the market, but they made it clear. Look, Oliver, we're not blowing our brains out. 8 times 8.25 is what you're going to get. We need to know by the draft if you intend on re-signing with us. Because if you don't, we're shopping you. And they got it done. And I think that is how you want to handle the Erik Karlsson situation. And you say to Erik Karlsson, look, you know, okay, we'll give you X amount of dollars for 8 years.
$80 million.
And do you want Mike Hoffman out of here? Okay, we'll trade him.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Whatever it is that you want, you're going to get, but you have to let us know by, and it doesn't have to be the draft. I think it has to be before the season starts next year.
I think it's got to be the draft because that's when teams start making their plans.
Right. Like I don't think it's I don't think that's like a drop dead.
No, it's
yeah.
close,
like
though.
That.
It's close.
If it's July 2nd, it's okay because maybe some teams get some clarity. Like whoever doesn't get John Carlson.
Yeah. And yeah. So I think that's how this will and should be handled.
Yeah, I think that your best case scenario is to hang on to Erik Karlsson, and if trading Mike Hoffman is kind of a make good for all the public commenting about Karlsson early in the year, then that's kind of a bonus for Ottawa management. But, I mean, you have such a good asset there in Erik Karlsson. And if you think that you can build relatively quickly, I mean, the Senators have some pretty decent prospects coming up. They're going to get another good one in this draft. If you can hang on to Karlsson, because, I mean, it's so hard to find a player like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, I mean, one of the best defensemen in the game, obviously. As you mentioned, like, Hoffman was, the talks were already there, and, yeah, it's very hard. I think they can get to the bottom of this. I mean, they can do a lot of things with computers these days. You know, I don't necessarily think this was
the internet on them now.
Yeah, like, I don't think this was a CIA-backed affair, whether or not it was Mike Hoffman's girlfriend. These are all allegations, but I think they can figure it out if they really want to do. If all parties involved said we need an answer, I think that there are people out there that could find those answers.
I don't think that this affects Erik Karlsson's trade value one iota.
No. Oh, no.
I think it affects Mike Hoffman's trade value big time.
Yes.
But I don't think this lowers his value in any way, shape, or form.
And I almost think that if you're the Ottawa Senators, you want this solved because if you're trading Mike Hoffman, you have to be able to say to the team, don't worry, he's not going to tear the dressing room apart.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the digital forensics. He's at, actually this is what happened, and it was not, his girlfriend's fault.
Yeah.
We still want to move him for reasons X and Y. We think he needs a fresh start, blah, blah, blah. But he is a character guy. This was a story gone wrong.
Is Eric Carlson an Ottawa Senator when the season begins next year?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I just feel like it's trending towards him being moved. I mean, he was almost moved at the deadline.
Yep.
He almost became a Vegas Golden Knight at the deadline.
Cody Glass's fault.
Yeah. And I think
Why are you so good, kid?
I think they just couldn't figure out the whole Bobby Ryan, what they were going to do with him, sort of thing. So I just get the sense that it's trending toward that happening.
Sometimes it feels like there's so much momentum towards something that it's just inevitable.
It's a runaway freight train, right?
I keep going back to him fishing the puck out of the net at the end of the season.
Right.
I mean, he seemed resigned at that point that this is my last game, or what was it, last home game, or whatever it was, as an Ottawa
Senator. He took the last couple of games off, remember?
I don't even know, I'm not in the head of Eric Carlson, but with all that's gone on, with the direction of this team, fair enough, they've got some good assets, but are they a contender in a division within the next 4 years? Are they a contender in a division with Tampa? The behemoth that is Tampa. Toronto getting better.
Edward, in the NHL 4 years is an eternity now. They could be.
Okay.
With Eric Carlson in their lineup, absolutely they could be. What concerns me about all of this is we don't hear anything about them talking about anything. Like Oliver Ekman Larson's done.
Yeah.
Right. All they're waiting to do is announce it on July 1st. And I think what people misunderstand is they could have a contract done with Eric Carlson right now if they wanted to. You can negotiate and agree to a deal before July 1st. You just can't announce it until after July 1st.
Mm.
And it's almost like the Senators are making it out like, well, we can't do anything until after July 1st. No, you can. You can do the whole thing. You can have it all done right now if you wanted to.
You tell Bob McKenzie and we're all prepared.
Just ask Arizona.
Yeah,
they did it.
And if I've got a player like Eric Carlson who is at best a top 3 player in the NHL, at worst a top 10 player in the NHL, I'm doing everything I can.
Yeah, and to me, that's what makes this sort of seem like that's where it's going, is because we're not hearing anything about them talking or negotiating or exchanging offers or anything.
Yeah.
Said we weren't going to talk about the draft, but I do want to ask about something draft-related. And that's changing it to a 19-year-old draft. Seemed like a really out there idea and one that would never land when it was, to me it kind of came to light when Pat LaFontaine was starting those summits and he was kind of the guy. But now it seems to be gaining some traction. Kenny, what do you think about the idea of changing to a 19-year-old draft?
Well, I mean, obviously the NHL would love it, I mean, it's you give them another year to assess a player's potential, and of course they're going to want to do that. There's a kid in the draft this year. His name's Scott Perunovic, who plays at the University of Minnesota Duluth. He was passed over last year in the draft, and this year might be a first rounder. Probably won't, right, Ryan?
Probably a second rounder.
Probably a second rounder, but early in the second round. That to me is the perfect sort of fodder for a 19-year-old draft. Is this kid nobody was even talking about this kid being drafted last year, and now he's in the top 60. So, I think it's something that is going to get a push. I mean, they're going to have to collectively bargain it, and it's going to have to be something that's done with the Players Association. But I can't imagine the Players Association would have a problem with a 19-year-old draft. I don't think there's anything that they would care about that. It would just be what's the give back going to be?
Because
there is going to have to be a give back. So I think that's where it would probably might get snarled.
But are you okay not seeing Connor McDavid until he's 19?
Well, from what I'm hearing, the idea would be that you can draft 18-year-olds in the first round, which I hate the idea all around. I'm curious with the PA, would they not care that this is kind of like restriction of labor? You know, like these, like even if you're 18, like you're an adult. I guess it depends on where you are in North America or whatever. But like if you can earn money in the NHL, like you can do it now. Why are you saying that now they can't? Like to me, that seems like a labor issue.
They're already saying for the first 3 years of your career, you're going to be completely underpaid. Entirely underpaid, and we are going to put a cap on how much you can make.
But at least you're still making.
Let's not forget the word relative.
Yeah, relatively big. Yeah. To me, that's just like, okay, so you're going to do 18-year-olds for the first round. So are the best, like, 50 18-year-olds going to show up at the draft and 20 of them are going to go home because they didn't get drafted? Because as soon as pick 31 happens, you're not allowed to take them anymore? That seems like a nightmare.
I remember the way it used to be in the OHL, you could draft minor midgets in the first three rounds.
Uh-huh.
Of the draft, and then after that, it went to
three rounds. Yeah. That sounds good to me.
Yeah, and so that was that. You know, but I mean, to me, if you're gonna allow for 18-year-olds to get drafted in the first round,
then just let me.
What's
draft
the
them.
Point? Just have an 18-year-old draft.
Yeah, exactly.
Either have it or don't have it. But like, to have the top 30 18-year-old guys get drafted, and then other guys not get drafted, that seems ridiculous.
Yeah, and then
either have it or don't have it.
And then your scouting staff, are they gonna have to be scouting the what they deem to be the best 18-year-olds and then a bunch of 19-year-olds? Like, you can already... if you want to draft a 19-year-old in the first round, go ahead. You're allowed. You can do it.
Yeah.
Florida did it with Henrik Borgstrom. Wasn't that long ago. To me, it penalizes teams that have good scouting staffs. For example, Alex DeBrincat was a second rounder. Chicago took him. They already have an NHLer. That was only in 2016. Samuel Girard was a second rounder. That was a great pick by Nashville. They flipped him to Colorado, but it was part of a blockbuster trade, and Nashville did pretty well in that trade. It just feels like some of these people are saying, yeah, we're not very good at this. Help us out. If I was a team that was good at drafting, at good at finding those gems, at looking at a player at 18 and saying, yeah, he only weighs $150, but we really see something there, mm-hmm. I think that's all part of the competitive spirit of the sport. Like, why do you want to take that away? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Reader questions time. Ken, while you were away for a couple weeks at the Stanley Cup, you missed the fact that we now do a jingle. For reader questions.
A jingle?
We do a jingle, and so you're up for the jingle. This.
Oh, already?
Oh, yeah.
Like you got me now?
Obviously, because I want you to look like an idiot.
Okay. Send us your queries, and we'll try our best to answer them, reader questions.
Reader
questions. That's
pretty good. That's the best one yet. does the Bruins GM... Oh, this is, sorry, from Somewhat Educated. No comment. Does the Bruins GM, a.k.a. Don Sweeney, have the backbone to pull off a major trade?
Does he have the backbone? This is the guy that traded Dougie Hamilton for three first-round picks. Like, come on. I mean, does he have the backbone? He's had a pretty good backbone up to this point, I think.
I don't think Don Sweeney's problem is pulling the trigger. And I would say, like, if you look at Boston right now and you look at the pipeline they have, they're looking pretty good right now. You know, as soon as you, you know, like, you keep accruing this talent, and, I mean, you have the best top line in the NHL with Bergeron, Marchand, and David Pasternak. You have some nice forwards coming up. Ryan Donato, you know, Anders Bjork, Jacob Forsbacka Carlson. Like, these kids are going to get bigger roles as time goes on. I thought Jake DeBrusque was very good in the playoffs.
Fantastic.
He's terrific, yeah.
Yeah, you got, I mean, a really good young defenseman in Charlie McAvoy. Brandon Carlo is still young. They've still got kids coming up the pipeline there as well. Tuukka Rask is a solid netminder. I kind of feel like the Bruins shouldn't mess around too much at this point.
Where do they need, like, a massive upgrade? Like...
When I read that quote, that was my exact question.
They're a good team. Yeah. They could be a great team. They were a great team for a while last year.
Yeah.
They're a really good team.
Just gotta hone things.
Yeah.
Pada, which is at Wickham Go Yotes, says, Chayka already with one big move. Do we see any more prior to or on draft day? Cheers from Japan.
Nice.
The very rare... Coyotes fan from Japan.
Yeah, you should move here. They need you. Well, not here, but move to Arizona. I don't think so. I mean, they're picking fifth. They've just got their one pick in the first round this year. They've already got, you know, they got the Ekman-Larsson deal done. They've done the Galchenyuk deal. I mean, it's not like, how do I put this? This team has no money. Like, it has no money. So really, I mean, you're kind of
limited.
You're kind of limited in your ability to be able to go out and sign free agents and that sort of thing. So I think they're probably going to stay the course. It seems to me John Chaik is the kind of guy that wants to get his work done before like all the crazy stuff happens. And so he's got his work done now, and I think he's just gonna they're just gonna sort of move along.
Yeah, and again, I think if you look at Arizona, this is a team where, you know, the AHL squad, some of the best players were the youngest players. You know, and I would say, you know, just as Boston had the top line in the NHL, one of the best lines in the AHL, at least in terms of prospects, was Dylan Strome, Lawson Crouse, and Nick Merkley.
Right.
So, I mean, Lawson Crouse already had NHL experience. Arizona thought he would be better served playing a lot of minutes in the AHL this year. But I would suspect that now you can pencil Crouse back into the Arizona lineup. Obviously, Strome's going to get another shot. Is he maybe just a third-line center to begin with? Not necessarily a shutdown guy, but a third-line guy? Maybe, and that's fine because he can still be an asset for you there. You add those guys in, I still think they need some help on the back end, but, and you don't want to rush whoever you take fifth overall. But I think, as we said earlier in the podcast, they're going to be at least more competitive this year.
Yeah, they don't need a ton of work.
They don't need a ton of work.
You know, I mean, they've got Goligoski, Larsson,
yeah,
Chalmerson, of course, if he stays healthy.
Yeah.
Ranta was good.
If Chychrun comes back
healthy,
you know.
Well, that's true. Chychrun will come back. Yeah, and Ranta, really. I mean, they had the horrendous beginning, but that's because Ranta was hurt.
Mm-hmm. They're just in a tough division. That's the problem, and especially when you add a team who suddenly becomes the class of the West into your division.
Sorry, folks, had a little bit of technical difficulties there, so we'll leave the podcast at that for today. Be sure to tune in for Ryan's draft preview podcast coming on Thursday. Thanks so much for listening.